The first port of call for anybody who says they're Christian is that they must be born again. If they're not regenerated, they're not Christian. There might be a lot of things, but they're not Christians. Now, we also know that the Christian is the righteousness of God. The Christian is not the sinner. This Christian is the righteousness of God by a free gift. Now, we said also that a Christian is one who's been redeemed from spiritual death. Hallelujah. Separation from God. The Christian has been redeemed. And what does it mean to be redeemed? To be bought back by paying a named price. Number four is that we've been redeemed from poverty. Jesus redeemed us from poverty. He paid a price for us to be rich. Now, if we don't want to be rich, that's fine. If you define it as just having enough, that's fine. If you also stretch it and say, God said I'll be rich, that, you know, then you're not seeing yourself with aircrafts and a lot of things and all of that, that's still fine. God's not angry with you because you have big faith. If you have small faith, God is not angry with you. If you have big faith, he's not angry with you. He just doesn't want you to be in unbelief. Doesn't want us to be in unbelief. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord Jesus. And finally, we come to the fact that we've been redeemed from defeat and failure. A Christian cannot be defeated. Now, we said not everybody's a Christian, right? Now, a Christian, a child of God, cannot be defeated. I'm making a statement. I'm shocking you now, right? A Christian cannot be defeated. We're immune from defeat. And I'm going to prove it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We're immune from defeat. John chapter 16. I'm going to start from there. Verse 25. These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs. And I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I am come out from God. I came forth from the Father, and I am come into the world. Again I leave the world, and go to the Father. His disciples said unto him, Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb. And he says, Now are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man should ask thee? By this we believe that thou camest forth from God. Jesus answered them, Do ye now believe? Behold, the hour cometh. Yea, is now come, that he shall be scattered, every man to his own, and shall leave me alone. Yet I'm not alone, because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Jesus made that statement. When I was reading through and I saw this scripture, I said to myself, I should be of good cheer. You have overcome the world. What about me? You see, because when you read through the book of Revelation, he always says, he that overcometh, he that overcometh. But you said, I should be of good cheer. You've overcome the world. Hallelujah. Jesus overcame in my stead, which means when he died, I died. When he rose from the dead, we all rose from the dead with him. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 14. For the love of Christ constrained us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should know not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. So he died for all. He died for all, right? That meant that all died. Praise God. He rose from the dead. That meant that all rose from the dead, right? Praise the Lord. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, the first thing there is that there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Praise the Lord. Now, if you walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life, the principle of the Spirit of Zoe, the Spirit of life, the God kind of life that we have in Christ has made us free from the law of sin and death. The law of Moses in the text of it, and the death process and the power of sin. Praise God. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, destroyed sin, hallelujah, sentenced sin, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. So to be after the flesh is to be minded after the flesh. But we're still going to, because it's going to expound what it means by mind, do mind the things of the flesh. And they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. He said, for to be carnally minded is death. So when he says to walk after the flesh, is to be minded after the flesh. Praise God. And to be minded after the flesh is to be carnally minded. And what does it mean to be carnally minded? It means that your thinking is somebody defined it like this, and that was Creflo Dollar many years ago. He said that to be carnally minded is a way of thinking that is contrary to the word of God. Because you're only in the senses. All you can see is the senses. If somebody comes to you and they say, look, I can't do, this thing that God said I should do. I can't do it. I don't see I'm going to be able to do it. And they're complaining all the time. You say, you need to live by faith. You say, yes, I know, but that's not what I'm seeing. You know, my experience is different. He said, but the text of the word of God says something different. I said, no, it doesn't matter what he says. I'm telling you what I'm seeing. That's what it means to be carnally minded. He said, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Hallelujah. He said, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. That means if you want to enjoy the Zoe, the fullness of life, Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. If we must enjoy that life and the shalom of God, nothing missing, nothing broken, be the strong man and your goods at peace, you must be spiritually minded. Hallelujah. Next verse. He said, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So for as long as you are in the flesh and thinking in line with the flesh, you cannot please God. You are an enemy of God. That's why people can't understand why it seems like the church is against diversity, equity and inclusiveness. The words are okay, but what they mean is something else. And those things they mean, they grieve the soul of the righteous. The Bible said that Lot, living in Sodom and Gomorrah, was grieved in his soul daily by the things he heard and saw. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. If you're not born again, there's no way you're going to be able to please God. Hallelujah. You don't want to go to church. Why must I go to church? You know, hallelujah. You're in the flesh. So the spiritual things don't hold any delight in you. The Bible says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. But if you don't delight in him, he can't give you the desires of your heart. Hallelujah. What God says a lot of times is contrary to what the senses agree with. You say, okay, take 10% of your pay and give it to God as your tithe. You say, why would I do that? That pastor, all he's doing is talking, telling us what to do, and then he will go home with my tithe. You know, say, look at all of them. They're all driving, flying jets all over the place. And we're poor. And, you know, that is why the carnal mind is enmity against God. It cannot please God. He doesn't think the ways that God thinks. It's a mind, a way of thinking that is contrary to the word of God. He cannot do things the way God wants him to do it. Hallelujah. So you will not agree with God. But you are not in the flesh. That's if you're born again. You're not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If so be that the spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If any man does not have the Holy Ghost, he is none of his. Now, let me say this. When you got born again, it was the spirit of God that you were dipped into. You're born of God's spirit. If that is not in you, you don't belong to God. But let me also say this. When you get born again, you are required to receive the fullness of the Spirit with evidence of speaking with tongues. You are required. On your journey to the millennial reign of Christ, you need the Holy Ghost. That is the oil the Bible talks about. The five foolish virgins had the oil in their vessels. The other five did not. Tongue talking is not decoration. It's a requirement for the journey. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, I feel sorry for you. And when the Antichrist comes, you know, somebody's, you know, it's not, Christianity is not emotion. It's not razzmatazz. It's a spiritual journey. And there's a warfare, and we're warriors. Well, we're coming to it. Praise God. I'm just reading now. We're going to come to it. Amen. The next verse. Now, if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is Zoe, the life of God, because of righteousness. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you. Amen. God is able to give life to your body. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, the leading of the Spirit of God and being spiritually minded are synonymous. Just that the Holy Ghost is able to give you subjective leading. What I mean by that is that he can say, buy this property on this on West Lake Mary and tell another person to buy somewhere maybe on go to Windermere and buy something. Or he can say, okay, go to Kissimmee and buy it because he sees something coming. Amen? That's subjective leading and it's okay. Bible says his spirit bear witness with our spirits that we're children of God. Hallelujah. They're the sons of God. He said, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Amen? He says, and the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. How do we know we're children of God? The Holy Ghost is the one telling us. He's reassuring us. You know, sometimes you feel like, man, God has forgotten about me. I don't hear him anymore. You know, but inside of you, something keeps telling you you're a child of God. So you keep going to church, even though you're not feeling as good as you were feeling before. It's not by your feelings. Hallelujah. If children, then heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. What are these sufferings? You know, when the world is trying to buffet us and say things about us, you know, there was a time when they said that Christians were wicked because that, you know, how can they see love? between two men and say it's evil, that Christians were just, you know, haters and all of that, you know, it sounds weird when unbelievers use words they don't know what it means. So what we're saying is to keep the world from destruction. But they don't know. They think all there is 120 years here, and most of them don't get there. Heaven is real. Hell is real. Praise God. If a man does not believe in heaven and hell, he's not a Christian. You see, but that's not the basis of Christianity. You don't understand. You have made Jesus a liar. And you can't call Jesus a liar on your way to going to heaven. How's it going to happen? You see, he that does not believe God has made him a liar. So you don't, something that Jesus said, and I say I'm a Christian, but I don't agree. What did you confess to? What did you receive? You received the Lordship. You received Jesus as Savior and as Lord of your life, which means you cease to be in charge. It's what he says you do. Every Christian here knows this. There are things we want to do. But when we see what the word says, we say, okay. Yeah. That's how a Christian is. Glory be to God. Yeah, let's keep reading. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who had subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. The next verse. He said, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. And even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Hallelujah. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For that which a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? He said, for if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. But he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. How does that happen? When we're praying in tongues, when there is a situation around us, and, you know, it looks, you know, crazy, and everything seems to be out of place, and, you know, there's trouble all over, and you're just praying in tongues. You're talking in tongues. You're talking in tongues. As you're praying in the Spirit, you become restive, because the Holy Ghost, Bible says, the yoke, it shall come to pass, that the yoke shall be destroyed and the burden lifted because of the anointing. So as you're stirring up the gift of God, you're stirring up the anointing, the power of the Holy Ghost will set you free. There's no way you're going to be in trouble. You can't remain in trouble. You can't lock up the Holy Ghost. Pray in other tongues. He says, and you beloved, building up yourselves. Can we have the amplified version of Jude chapter 1 verse 20? He says, but you beloved, build yourselves up, founded on your most holy faith. May progress rise like an edifice, higher and higher, praying in the Holy Spirit. So when you're praying in tongues, you're building yourself. Hallelujah. You're building yourself and you're changing things. You're talking, you know, you're talking to the Father. There's no way you're going to miss it. Hallelujah. You know, you have some serious conversation. So when devils come around, all they're seeing is lightning, thunder, different things. Because you are divine. For whom he did foreknow, them foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, he also, what? Justified. Now, whom he justified, them he also glorified. So you're no longer wretched. You're glorified now. You were the wretched sinner, and Jesus brought you in, washed you in the blood, saved your soul. Hallelujah. Water baptized you unto the resurrection of life and glorified you. Amen. Hallelujah. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Listen, Jesus said to Saul, who became Paul, he said, it is hard for you to kick against the pricks. You know what the pricks are? Sharp edges. You know, I see some of these trucks. They have spikes. Can you imagine kicking against that? That's what it is for you to fight a Christian or to fight the church. You will destroy yourself. Anybody who starts that fight, it won't end well for the person. The church is indestructible. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Who shall lay the charge? It is God that justified. Who is he that condemned? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercessions for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen. We are more than what? Conquerors.